Catch up with Nick Bowen from AFL.com.au. Never a shortage of footy news, despite it being Melbourne Cup Day. Good morning, Nick.
G'day, Brett. How are things?
Going pretty well. How do you normally spend a Melbourne Cup Day? Do you have a little flutter? Do you ever head out to the Cup?
My racing days are probably a little bit behind me. I used to go out there a bit and was lived out by Flemington a little while ago. But now, probably more likely just a barbecue at friend's place. Not a great punter, Brett. I try and steer clear of it. I tend to save my money that way. So I normally have a little bit of a flutter on the Cup, but it's a very uneducated one.
It's a tough day. We'll check in with Brian Martin a little bit later on, but always a tough day to pick a few winners, Melbourne Cup Day. But I read with great interest today, and I remember being at the Adelaide Oval earlier this year watching the slowdown and watching the two Jarmans go around. It'd be fair to say, I mean, it's public knowledge that Darren Jarman, he's put on a few kilos since the playing days, and Andrew as well. But I tell you what, they've still got the class. And I read today that the Jarman family is over the moon, that Ben Jarman is poised to become Adelaide's first father-son draft selection in its 26-year history.
Exactly right. And I think, you know, when you're looking at, as you mentioned, looking at bloodlines, it's a pretty good one to sort of keep at the Crows, isn't it? I think he was eligible as well for Hawthorn because his father, Darren, had played over 100 games there as well. Mm. So it's a fantastic get by the Crows. I think that, you know, you look back on their history and there was, I think, they didn't really reap anyone out of the SANFL. I think that there was that real controversy over Bryce Gibbs.
Yep.
His father having played enough games for Glenelg, but not in the right sort of time frame. So this is a great one for the Crows. Nice to, I suppose, break their father-son duck with such a great name of the club. And look, if he's anything like his father, he'll be an absolute class act for quite some time for the Crows.
So just to give our listeners a bit of an idea, I mean, he's 175 centimetres, so still a very light frame at 70 kilos, as, you know, the young guys coming to the system are until they get a few good pre-seasons under their belt and do and get in the weights room. But we're looking at sort of around that third round selection. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it will be. I think he's one that you're right. He falls around that time frame. There's others who've studied this much more closely than me, but I think that it is one probably a bit like say Jack Silvani last year, where clubs don't want to pay over the odds. But I think we're finding that any bids these days with the new system tend to be very genuine. So I don't think that opposition clubs will bid earlier than what they think he's worth, and I think on that frame that the Crows probably will be quite happy with the price that they've got to pay.
Interesting discussion between Frank and Cam this morning, of course, on breakfast, just regarding the father-son rule, and obviously it's been in place for a little while, and I suppose Cam, having been in the system, loves a bit of that romanticism of a son coming to play where his father did, but I certainly listened to Frank's point of view, which I thought was really interesting as well. That when you think about it, it's a little bit silly in a way that you just get assigned to the club where your father played, and can sort of elevate yourself up the order. What's your take on the father-son rule?
Yeah, look, I suppose it's the frustration I think for a lot of clubs, and it's probably the newer clubs is that it's in a sense just another way that the draft is compromised, and we've had, I think that an era where that's been the case, be it compensation picks for free agency, be it all the expansion drafts, that sort of thing. So I understand where the frustration comes from, but I think that I do like the romanticism of it as well, and I think we've now got a system where it's a lot fairer than it used to be. I think that I remember back in the day where, and I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that, say, someone like Travis Cloke,
mm,
who would have been a really early selection in his draft year, got to Collingwood for, I think it was a third-round pick,
yep,
something in the 40s, which is just an absolute free hit. So I think at least now you've got clubs paying, a fair price. It is a discounted price. They do get that, I think, only pay 75% of what the points, their points worth is assessed at. But I still think that, I think we've got to have a little bit of those old traditions in the game, don't we? I don't see why we can't have it. It does give a club a free hit, but let's not get carried away by how often it happens. I mean, I don't think they come along that often. You know, people probably could point to the Geelong team, you know, when they've got Gary Ablett, they've got Matthew Scarlett, and then Tom Hawkins coming through later on. But I think that that's probably the exception more than that proves the rule. And I think that those guys were part of that old era where they were free hits more than probably, you know, paying a fair price.
Well, it is interesting. Well, I think back over the years, Nick, probably it was, you know, Mark Murphy was in a situation where he could have gone to Brisbane. Brisbane certainly were very keen on him, but he wanted to stay in Melbourne and went to Carlton. There's no guarantee that the father-son or the son who's coming through is going to be the best selection. Obviously, clubs would love to keep it in the family, but that's, I suppose, the punt they've got to take compared to the talent in and around where they do select, take that selection.
And don't forget either, Brett, you know, the pressure that clubs come under. I mean, look, someone like Collingwood this year with Josh Dacos, I mean, imagine if they didn't nominate him and he ends up somewhere else and plays, you know, outstanding football. And they've also got, obviously, Gavin Brown's son Callum this year as well. They've both nominated them. But, you know, they're under a fair bit of pressure to take on these guys. But, you know, again, they're very mindful, their list management team, of doing it at the right price.
Talking to Nick Bowen, afl.com.au. If you've got a footy thought, 9429 1116, or shoot us through a text, 0433 98 1116. Final delistings around the league yesterday, and there obviously were some ones that went right down to the wire for clubs to ponder over the last month. Adelaide, of course, dropping Ricky Henderson and Mitch Grigg, and Hawthorn have indicated that there might be some interest in Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, he's one, Brett, that I think a lot of clubs have been surprised, you know, that he... perhaps, you know, was didn't get another spot on the Crows list. And I think that they probably just, they you know, didn't, you know, just really just weren't in a position, I think, TPP-wise, to offer him another contract. And, you know, I know that there were a lot of the clubs I spoke to over trade period really liked him, but again, probably just couldn't find a spot for him. But, I think he's too good a player. And, you know, 28, he's still got a few good years left in him. But I think he will... now, he'll find a home in the delisted free agency period, which opens today. And as you mentioned, Hawthorn is one club that seems to have some interest in him already.
Eli Templeton, that's just been coming through on the SMS. I think there'll be enough interest for him to get another opportunity?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's certainly been whispers around from quite a while ago that you know, Carlton may have some interest in him, but certainly I'm not sure whether how good that male is. You know, he really was very exciting, wasn't he, when he came onto the scene at St Kilda. And I think, you know, the flowing dreadlocks, that sort of thing, really gathered a bit of attention. So he's got some X factor about him. But, you know, certainly the last couple of years have been a bit of a struggle for him getting into that St Kilda team. So, look, he's one. He won't be, you know, high on anyone's agenda. But I think that, you know, he might feel, you know, that last spot or two on someone's list as a delisted free agent, or they might even be looking for him more as a rookie.
Angus Litherland getting brought up as well as part of that batch of delisted free agents. Xavier Richards, a good fit for the Blues. KPAC's asking that at Carlton.
Yeah, look, I think that there's you know, there's a few, aren't there? I mean, you know, a few of the tall boys as well. Cam O'Shea from Port Adelaide, a 193-centimetre defender as well, could have some appeal. So it's... there's the names out there. I mean, these guys were, you know, sort of all available during, you know, the free agent or trade period and no sort of bites. But I think the listed free agency period will probably be the most active one that it has been, because there's some pretty good players out there that you think are worth that final spot or two on someone else's list.
Andrew Walker, I read with great interest today. I mean, a very popular club in Carlton, and getting to 200 games, obviously the body giving... way a little bit this season, but he's going to stay in a coaching role and that sort of development aspect and really trying to integrate the young players into the club, being the new recruits. So I suppose those who are still in their first year or two, which has become a pretty important role, hasn't it? That player welfare, that ensuring that you retain players. And I suppose the Brisbane situation has probably highlighted that for a lot of clubs, that you need to put a fair bit of work into this area.
Look, exactly right, Brett. And I think that, you know, Andrew's so highly respected at Carlton, and he was contracted for next year. They would love him to have gone on, but as you mentioned, he's just had those knee problems that have really just became too much for him. So I think, you know, such a highly regarded leader. He's back into the leadership group this year as well. And, you know, I think that they don't want to lose that leadership. I think he, you know, works really well with the younger guys. And I think that that sort of development welfare sort of role for Andrew will be absolutely perfect. And, you know, the clubs just want to keep their greats there, don't they? And I think that, you know, Andrew's sort of still a young guy, still got so much to give, and I think still so sort of passionate about the football club that he should do really well in that role.
And Sam Fisher, I know the boys on Breakfast discussed it this morning. That would have been the tough one for St Kilda. He's been an outstanding player, and he was picked up in the mid-50s in the draft, 13 seasons. He's had to overcome some injury across that time as well. But a tough one when you've got to say goodbye to a guy who's given a hell of a lot for your footy club.
Oh, look, it is. And I think that when you look back to those grand final years at St Kilda, 09 to 2010, he was an absolute superstar then. He was really one of the best defenders in the league. And I think, he's probably came down to, I think, him or Sean Dempster. And I think Sean Dempster's just been still such an important part of the Saints back line that it was probably going to be Sam. And he and the Saints agreed to sort of hold over, you know, a final decision on his future until the end of the trade period. Mm. But I think once they got Nathan Brown as a free agent from Collingwood, you know, they'd probably shored up the back line then. And unfortunately for Sam, there wasn't that sort of position. And they're probably one of those clubs as well, Brett. I think that they've got, you know, still got some really great old guys who are playing really key roles for the club. You know, while those new youngsters come through, a really exciting new era. But, you know, as we've seen with Hawthorn and other clubs, you just have to stagger those retirements. And unfortunately for Sam, he's the first one to go.
You certainly do. John's brought up Matt DeBoer on the SMS, and I reckon he's a really interesting one, Nick. I mean, obviously a favourite of Ross Lyons. He played that, you know, defensive forward role at times. You know, great tackler. The guy who mightn't have been the flashy player on the outside, he did the grunt work on the inside. Do you reckon there might be any interest there, or will he just sort of drift back to the waffle and play football at that level?
Yeah, he's a really interesting one. You look at his numbers in the waffle this year, and they're absolutely outstanding. You know, Peel Thunder going on to win their first waffle premiership, and Matt was a really key part of that. He's not hell-bent on continuing. He's got other sort of interests that he's content to pursue if the AFL career doesn't continue. But I really think that he's one of those guys that at another club could be really good value. And as I said, his form this year in the waffle has been really outstanding. He's really racked the ball up in big numbers. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone definitely had a look at him.
Interesting times ahead. We get closer to the November draft and the pre-season draft. No shortage of work for you, Nick. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure, Brett.